This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, October 17, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Saturday, more than 2,500 No Kings rallies are planned nationwide as a pushback to President Trump's policies. WGVU's David Limbaugh spoke with a local organizer about its Grand Rapids event.
Well, the festival is designed to invite people who are tired of what's going on in our political world and to find a way to be community and to help build a better future.
Becky Palmer is a leader with Indivisible Greater Grand Rapids, the local branch of a national grassroots movement educating the public about current legislation and policies. She says this weekend's events are expected to draw even bigger crowds than the previous No Kings Day in June, which drew thousands. Palmer says now there's an urgency felt by many Americans due to the government shutdown.
I believe that some of the tariffs are kicking in, and I think people are seeing that the grocery prices, in fact, are not going down. They are going up. I think that people are also able to witness a lot more corporate greed and that we're paying for people to become billionaires and trillionaires.
Palmer says she hopes people who are concerned about the stigma that comes with attending political events will still attend.
I'm really hoping that families come out just so that they can have a good time and gather information and recognize that it's going to take all of us to help build a better future.
The No Kings Community Festival is at Riverside Park this Saturday, October 18th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm David Limbaugh.
Dr. Melinda Sapp will be celebrated Sunday with the unveiling of a Grand Rapids commemorative street designation honoring her life and legacy. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
An educator, counselor, faith leader, and community advocate, Dr. Melinda Sapp is remembered as a powerful leader. With her husband, gospel artist Marvin Sapp, she co-founded Lighthouse Full Life Center, where Bishop Designate R.J. Marshall currently leads.
She most importantly was a servant leader, and through her acts of service, not just to the community, but more so to the world, he was able to leave an indelible impression.
Dr. Sapp was the founding principal of the Grand Rapids Ellington Academy for Arts and Technology, a K-12 program, and she taught psychology at Grand Rapids Community College. She died of cancer in 2010 at age 43. Pastor Marshall says her legacy continues through the lives of the people she touched.
One of her most notable sayings was, keep it moving. In life, there are challenges that many of us incur, but even as she was going through the different things and challenges of her health, she just kept saying to keep it moving, which is to press past those particular moments in life and know that there's greater on the other side. And so here we are today to be able to celebrate a woman who kept it moving.
The sign for Dr. Melinda Sapp Way will stand at the intersection of Madison Avenue and Alger Street Southeast, pointing to the church. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Gerald R. Ford International Airport just earned the top spot in the USA Today Reader's Choice Awards for Best Small Airport. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The 20 finalists for the category were selected by a panel of experts and then voted on by the public. That voting was open from September 8th until October 6th. The panel consisted of editors from USA Today and 10best.com, expert contributors, and industry sources. The USA Today 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards series highlight top-notch attractions and businesses. Gerald R. Ford International Airport Authority President and CEO Tori Richardson said in a news release, quote, "We are honored that the best guests in the country have helped us win the number one spot for the best small airport," end quote. Airport officials say the Ford International Airport serves as West Michigan's gateway, surpassing a record-breaking number of 4 million passengers in 2024. It's also noted as the state's second busiest airport. I'm Jennifer Moss.
75 years after he was taken prisoner during the Korean War, the remains of Private First Class Harold Delia of Twin Lake are finally back in West Michigan. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they were transported aboard an American Airlines flight piloted by his great-nephew.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Captain Casey Brohard. Welcome aboard Flight 3167 to Grand Rapids. This is a special flight.
A particularly special flight for American Airlines pilot Captain Casey Brohard because on board are the remains of his great-uncle, PFC Harold Dullier.
He was MIA POW in Korea. 75 years later, we have the opportunity and the honor to fly him on his last leg home.
PFC Dullier was an infantryman in the Korean War when he was captured in 1950. Using modern techniques, his remains were finally identified in May, and Captain Brohard is the pilot on the final leg of his journey home to West Michigan.
To be the lead on this flight and to take one of my family members home after 75 years, once in a lifetime, once in a career.
PFC Delia's final resting place is Fort Custer National Cemetery near Battle Creek. The Defense Department says there are still 5,000 Korean War soldiers missing in action.
I would like every one of you to think about our military. We still have many missing in the past wars.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Holland Hospital and UM Health are bringing a new specialty medical center to Zeeland to serve patients who previously had to travel elsewhere to receive care, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The $45 million West Park Specialty Center will be built on property Holland Hospital owns at its Zeeland campus in collaboration with U of M Health. Holland Hospital CEO Patty Van Dort says the first floor will house services that complement and enhance Holland Hospital's current offerings.
Advanced radiology services, diagnostics like MRI, CT, ultrasound, x-ray. We're going to have a laboratory center there as well, infusion clinic, and a specialty pharmacy.
University of Michigan Health will operate on the second floor, offering specialized care from physicians from the Ann Arbor-based Academic Medical Center and U of M Health providers. Van Dort says surveys identified the types of patient care lacking in the region. The new outpatient center bridges those gaps.
It's things like pediatric specialties and subspecialties, neuroscience, endocrinology, dermatology, which we have a real access issue around here.
A groundbreaking ceremony is set for next week. The West Park Specialty Center is anticipated to open in 2027. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf previews this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. A new report finds Michigan State Police isn't properly controlling security access to the state's sex offender registry. Colin Jackson has more.
The report comes from the State Auditor General and covers a period from February 2023 through July of last year. The audit says during that time, state police didn't properly manage account access records, automatically disable inactive accounts, or remove access for other accounts that shouldn't have been able to get into the system. In its preliminary response, MSP agreed with recommendations to improve security and access controls. The agency says it takes its responsibility for running the sex offender registry seriously and will improve the training and guidance it provides for handling the system. The audit did find the overall reliability of the registry's data was sufficient, with exceptions. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan's monthly jobs report that would reveal employment data for the month of September hasn't been released due to the federal government shutdown. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The monthly jobs report shows the unemployment rate, the number of unemployed people, and other workforce information. It tells which sectors of the economy are losing or gaining jobs. The report is important to academics, economists, government policymakers, and, of course, businesses. The September data exists, it just hasn't been shared because the people who would do that are furloughed. Michigan Labor Market Information Director Wayne Rourke says the surveys and other data needed for the October report are not yet in hand.
Unless we open back up very soon in the next day or week, October data will not be collected on its typical cadence.
Rourke says it's not clear how that will affect the quality of future reports. The August report showed Michigan's jobless rate was down slightly. That was because fewer people were looking for work. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Black Phone 2 is the biggest movie opening in theaters, a horror sequel starring Ethan Hawke. Also, Aziz Ansari has written and directed and stars in Good Fortune, a comedy with a star-studded cast. And the faith-based World War II movie Truth and Treason is also opening. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C sit down with our weekly movie talk.
Have you heard of the Grabber? I killed him.
What happened in that basement really changed it. Finn, I had a bad dream. It was about missing kids.
It was just a dream.
And that's Black Phone 2, a new horror thriller sequel starring Ethan Hawke and Madeline McGraw. And Zach, what are you hearing about this? And did you see Black Phone 1?
I did not see Black Phone 1. I did see pieces of Black Phone 1, though. But Ethan Hawke is back. This is, one of those movies that I feel like a lot of people went and saw the first one and really enjoyed. If you don't know, Ethan Hawke sort of plays the capturer, he kidnapper, if you will, and he kidnaps Mason's character in the first movie. And there's a black phone, roll credits, in sort of the room that he's hidden in, and the phone keeps ringing, and every time he picks it up, it's people who have been kidnapped before, sort of giving him more information on maybe like how he could try to escape. And so throughout the first one, you know, they're like, oh, well, you should try, you know, try doing this. And, you know, he'll try something. And then, you know, obviously it doesn't work out because the other person, it didn't work out for them. And so he's kind of like learning and building on the mistakes of previous kidnapped victims. But Gwen, who's his sister, sort of is like inherits an ability from her mom to be able to sort of like see into the future a little bit. Also just kind of like, I don't know, surrealism, if you will. And so this one seems like it sort of picks up right where it left off. Gwen is still sort of, she begins to sort of, well, she receives calls now from a black phone, but also begins to sort of have more visions on some things that are beginning to happen. And from what I've heard, this one is even more twisted and scarier than the previous movie. So I think if you like, if you enjoyed The Black Phone, you're going to like Black Phone 2. And from what I've seen, 74% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes from a critic's perspective, it seems like the audience probably will probably meet that or maybe go a little bit higher.
Also, we have opening a comedy action film called Good Fortune that is just stacked with comedic stars and also movie stars.
I am so excited for this movie. I have been very excited for this movie for about a year and a half now, since I found out about it at CinemaCon a couple years ago. But Aziz Ansari wrote and directed this movie. And so he plays this guy who's sort of down on his luck. He's doing like Uber Eats, you know, type thing, door dashing food. But also there's this service that you can apply to be essentially like, you know, a helper for someone around their house or, you know, do tasks for someone. And so he gets this gig with Seth Rogen's character, who's sort of this like, you know, doesn't think he's a Nepo baby person who, you know, just sort of got everything handed to him, lives in this huge house in LA and all that stuff. And so, you know, Aziz is kind of like a little bit annoyed with, you know, who he is as a person. But Keanu Reeves plays Gabriel, an angel, and it looks very now I'm blanking on the movie, but there was another movie where he plays an angel, Constantine, I think, is it right? With like a trench coat on and stuff. It looks, he's dressed almost in the exact same outfit. It's amazing. But anyway, he's, if you will, Aziz's budget guardian angel. And he decides to prove to Aziz that money isn't going to solve all of his problems. And so he switches their lives around. And so now...
Uh-oh, this is it's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, and so now he has Seth Rogen's life, and Seth Rogen has his life, and only Aziz is conscious and aware of that. And so then, you know, after a little bit, Keanu comes back and checks in on him, and, you know, he's like, you know, what did I say, you know? And Aziz is like, no, actually, turns out all this money and everything did solve most of my problems. And so, you know... Keanu Reeves loses his wings and has to now like sort of like navigate and live life within Seth Rogen's character, sort of being awoken to the situation and all that stuff. And it just looks hilarious. Like this was one of those movies that when it came on the block, I just was so excited at sort of the original comedy behind it. And yeah, just like the whole premise of like, you know, money can't solve all your problems. It's like, well, it turns out money solved almost all of his problems. So yeah, I'm really excited about this. And it's 79% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes right now as well. So really looking forward to that one.
Also with Kiki Palmer and Sandra Oh are in it as well. And also opening, we've got a war drama called Truth and Treason. We don't really get a lot of war movies that much anymore. And this was directed by Matt Whitaker. Ewan Horrocks is the star here. Is this an American film or is this a foreign film.
It is an American film. This is coming from Angel Studios. So it has, it's sort of that faith adjacent, release. It's based on a true story. Helmuth, a 16-year-old, begins this resistance after his sort of Jewish friends in where he's living, get arrested and all that stuff. And he does so with these sort of like red sheets of paper and envelopes, and where he essentially just starts writing, statements about the Nazi regime and things that are going on in the world and spreading them like a wildfire. It gets to the point where, there's a lot of tension that builds and stuff like that, because he's channeling and blazing, I guess would be trailblazing the conversations around, the Nazi regime that was going on around at the time. And, it is what it is, it says it is. It is a war drama, if you like those kinds of things, and, based on a true story, and, has a little bit of pieces to it that, I think you'll find moving and move through it. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, October 17, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.